This is a special time, you guys. God's going to meet us here and do unique things in us. Like it's just different when you're at camp. Part of it is the cell service is horrible. So you aren't tied to your cell phones. So you're free. You're released. God wants to come and do some unique things in your heart. And tonight we're gonna jump in, and Pastor Bruce has a good word for us. But every evening we are going to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in us today? And so I would encourage you just to say, okay, God, I came to camp. I want to get everything that you have for me. And that might be, you know how God works, right? The Holy Spirit is incredible. He's brilliant. It'll for sure be when Pastor Bruce is saying some things. It might be in the worship. It might be when you're meeting somebody that you've never met before for the first time and you get talking and God gives you something through them. I would like you to just open yourselves up and just say, okay, God, what is it that you have for us? So here's what I want you to do. Would you do this for me? Would you stand? Would you just raise up one hand toward the Lord? You can do two if you're feeling especially holy, but at least one. But with that uplifted hand, I want you to just be in this place where we say, God, we receive from you what you have for this weekend. And whether it is 3 years old or whether you've had a few more years experience than that, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. And we ask you to touch us. We ask you to move. We ask you to do the thing that only you can do in our lives. Father, would you come and would you show yourself strong to those who are weak? Lord, would you come and touch those who are hurting? There's somebody in this room who this week, they're going to tell somebody something that they just need to get off their chest because it's going to bring healing to them. And God's got you, and this is a place where there's safety and there's love. Lord, we pray for your love to just pour down and to wash over each one of us. We receive whatever it is you have for us, Holy Spirit. And if you agree, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go, Z. Over these next few days, we're going to have people speaking things over you. And God's going to speak to you that way. But tonight, we're just going to start by just asking the Holy Spirit to give you just a quick thought or a picture or a word that demonstrates what we've just talked about who he really is to us. Because nothing else actually matters at the end of the day. What really matters is who God is to us. Who is he really in our life? What nice religious words do you say? Who is he really to you? And I believe that God wants to drop, like for some of you, it's going to be just a word or just a picture. And if some of you don't get something tonight, that's okay. We got all week, okay? God, what do you want to say to your kids tonight? What's a word or a picture or a thought that you have for us, Holy Spirit? Because I know you want to show yourself. You want to give us something. That's a part of who you are. And for some of you, it's like, I want you to fix my problem. And that's actually not what God's going to do now. Because he is the one who actually helps you in these things. It isn't so much about your circumstances as it is about that connection that you have with him. So let's take just a minute, just be quiet. The music's going to play. We need to just take a deep breath out. Holy Spirit, we love you. Father God, you're amazing. Jesus, our breath is taken away at who you are. Who do you want to be for us, Lord? What part of yourself do you want to show us so it actually becomes part of who we are? Thank you, Lord. Just keeping that attitude of worship. And if you feel like God sort of showed you something, just either look at me or raise your hand. And I want to just, because I believe God wants to speak some things out, that those pictures of what he's shown you of who he is or what he's doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are in our midst. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just come and show us? Sweep across your people. Build in anticipation. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I want to just take one or two. Who had a thought or a picture of that God? I know it's first night and we're all like shy and whatever. Who is it? Yeah. Bright morning star. New beginning. Anybody need a new beginning? Yeah. Okay. You know what? That word was for you. Okay. That's how this works. This is like not complicated. Okay. Who else? Yeah. Washing his feet with our tears. Okay, good. That's a picture of worship, right? Where we're letting go. And that's a little bit more personal, so I won't ask you to say that. But if that's yours, just take it in. Okay, maybe one more. Yeah. God says that he wants to come and help us to remove the distractions in our life. And when we do that, he is going to peel back some things that are brilliant, that are of who he is. And he doesn't want you thinking anything other than God is just so in love with you. Thank you, Lord. And if you agree, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, give the Lord a hand, you guys. You may be seated. Over our times, I anticipate that God is going to speak to every one of you this week. This is how this works. You're going to get something from God because you've come here and you've opened yourself up. And so be ready and willing and make it happen. Thanks, guys. That was really good. Hey, Derek, you're sort of like the old guy of that group, eh? they did mention that, eh? The oldie and the goodies. That's the official name of the band this week. All right. Hey, folks, we are so privileged to have Pastor Bruce and Miriam with us for this week. Yeah, you can give them a hand. Some of you are starting, so you, yeah. And like, because they are Pentecostals, and I saw their trailer out there, I said, you must have a seat, right? Because everybody, all of you sit in the same place when you're at church. This is like their church, and it's their home, so they have their seat. And we are so glad, you folks, that you're with us and that this is your home and that you've sort of welcomed us into your home here. Pastor Bruce is one of our oldest friends at Church Rock. Not that he's old, but he's the oldest friend, way older than Derek, but he was needing that, Bruce, that's all. But he is a man, here's what I want you to think about. He is a man with a very, very deep well. And he is going to bring something. And when he speaks, his words come to you in ways that are very accessible. But there is a depth to him because of what he has experienced over all of the years of ministry. And what Bruce has experienced, what they've gone through together as a couple, there's a depth that God has built into them that is absolutely profound. So open up your hearts and your spirits to Pastor Bruce as he leads us.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Praise God. Well, I'm so glad to be with you, Church of the Rock family. What an honor for Miriam and I to be here. And I just want you to know that Miriam and I have been talking about this time and looking forward to it. I will admit to you that it came a little quicker than I thought it would. You know, back in May or whenever I made this decision, I thought it was a long way away. But here we are, and I say, Lord, help us to have something worthwhile to share today. So let me say this up front so that we can understand what I feel the Lord would have us do while we're here. I come to you as a 70-year-old retired guy. That's where we've been since August the 31st. We had served 47 and a half years in pastoral ministry, and when that... When that seven was going to click into my age, I said, Lord, would you be okay with me not leading a big church anymore? I think I can just do other things. And so the Lord allowed that to happen. And so we come to you with things that God has put in our hearts over these almost 50 years together. In fact, we were married 50 years a year ago in September. So we want to be an open book. We want to share who we are, what we are, the things we've learned about life and ministry. And so I, way back months ago, I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And there were three themes that came to me. And so I'm going to take the first theme and do tonight and tomorrow night on this theme. And then Friday night, we will shift and talk a little bit about family and marriage. And then on Saturday morning, a message that God worked into my heart about 20 years ago. And I have shared this message all over the world in missionary settings and various places. And it is the most meaningful theme that Miriam and I have together in our marriage. It has given us the ability to be long-term where we served the Lord. And the reason is that we learned very early that no one can hurt us if we choose to forgive. And we're going to drill down in that on Saturday morning before you all head off to the city. So I'm looking forward to being with you. Now, how many know that Pastor Mark is an evangelist to the very core of his being? Anybody know that? And you know that when you go to Church of the Rock, I've been there a few times. I've even preached back in the Consumers Building down Pembina. That's how long I've been kicking around. And Mark's been my friend all through that. And as I was thinking and praying about how do I talk to this wonderful group of people, what should I share with them? Here's what came to me. It is wonderful to have a pastor that is an evangelist. That's a good thing. And you can go to church on Sundays and kind of watch him fish, right? And then you can go, way to go, pastor, you did it again. Or you can change your perspective and say, how do I get to be part of this fishing team? Huh? We don't pay our pastor to do all the evangelism. We can be part of it. So here's what we want to share. We want to talk about lifestyle evangelism, and we want to say, Lord, would you move me from spectator to participator. Would you make me part of the team? Would you allow me to, where I work and where I go to school and all the neighbors that I have around me, would you help me to be part of that team? So here's the text for tonight's message and tomorrow's message. And it's from 1 Peter 3, 15 and the first part of the 16th verse. Would you say it out loud with me? Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. How many like that? Isn't that a great verse? That's important. Now, I want you to notice it doesn't say, now, just let's take it phrase by phrase. You must worship Christ as Lord of your life. In other words, worship him when you're at church and when you're at home, wherever you are, worship the Lord. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to call Pastor Aubrey and get him to explain it. Is that what it says? Huh? What do you think, Dwayne?
I think that's good.
It's good, right. It's good. Yeah. Whenever someone asks you, what did you believe down at that church? Well, let me call up the pastor and I'll let him talk to you. And always be ready. And we are here at camp, and I know that there are times when God, by his Holy Spirit, blesses us, and it's wonderful to be blessed in the greenhouse. But we also need to get practical help in allowing the Lord to make us a blessing when we leave this place. And so my goal is that you're going to say, wow, we've never talked about that stuff at camp. We always talked about how to get a blessing. Well, I'd like to help you, and if I didn't live this to a measure in my own life and in my wife's life, we would not be here talking about this. But this is something that in the 50 years of our pastoring and married life, we have given special attention to how to share our faith with the people around us. And so let's begin tonight. So today and tomorrow, we're going to cover three subjects. I should have three times, but I've taken three sermons and squashed them into two. You're going to enjoy this. I'll be done about 20 after 10. It's just a joke, Dwayne. Calm down. We're going to cover heart preparation tonight. We're going to talk about the fact that this has to be... How many know that guilt doesn't take you very far down the road? In fact, it wears you out, makes you mad, and you give up. So guilt's not going to work here tonight. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a word from the Lord. There's three or four chances here tonight, and the Lord's going to just work it into your heart. And so I feel the Lord wants me to share some practical things that I have learned over 50 years of being a Christian and serving the Lord and being involved in various kinds of ministries, and hopefully something I share will be helpful. The second thing we're going to do tonight is learn to tell our story in 3 minutes or less. And all of you are going to get to stand up here and speak for three... Relax! Nobody has to do anything, okay? You don't have to write anything. You don't have to say anything. But some will want to, I can assure you. So we're going to learn to tell our story, our faith journey, if you would. Then tomorrow, you're going to learn some phrases that you've never learned before, likely never heard before. Some of you may have. But we're going to talk about engaging people. How to carry the burden of conversation. And we'll talk about that tomorrow night, and we will also work a little bit more on our stories as well. So tonight, heart preparation. Now, as I was thinking about this first point, I was thinking of the husband and wife. How many had to work today, and you've been rushing since about 3 o'clock and trying to get down here, and you promised to get the kids and you forgot, and ooh, it's just awful. Well, I've got good news. Here's what the Lord promises. Whenever we get crossways in our relationships, and we were a little short with someone today, or maybe it was our spouse and maybe our kids, and we're feeling a bit bad about how we treated people trying to get to a church camp, and isn't that how it always works? The enemy's at work. I want you to just take that 1 John 1:9, and I want you to let it sink in. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. How many would like to just claim that right now? Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know that I've come to this camp and I'm in a bit of a mess, and you know that I've been doing things I shouldn't be doing, and I really asked you to come, Holy Spirit, and meet me. And there's no more powerful way than through the anointed word. And this was written to the Christians. This is not written for people to get saved. This is to Christians. When we sin, and if we deny that we've sinned, the truth isn't in us. So, Lord, we want to be a witness. We want to be effective. And, Lord, we confess our sin, and we ask you to forgive us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, here's the verse of heart preparation that I think is crucial. Now, I put it in the NLT. Most of us memorize this verse in some other version. Let's read it together on the screen, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, look up at that verse. I want you to speak out the word that you see strongest. Love, only Son, he gave eternal life, everyone. I'm still looking for one phrase, shall not perish. Two things. Do you see that there aren't 15 only sons? There's not 15 ways to Jesus. There's not 15 ways to the Father. Through the Son, right? The one and only Son, the only begotten, if you remember the King James. There's one Jesus. How many saviors? One Savior. And what happens if we don't accept the Savior? Shall not perish. Now, I just want to reflect. I've been following the Lord a long time. How many know that if we really thought about that every single day, for every single person we meet, how many have a hunch it would stir us somehow, right? Do we really believe that verse? Now, see, there are people that take that very verse and use it as a basis for universalism. We're all good. We're all good. Anybody heard those commercials that I did in Winnipeg for a few years, 20 years? Come investigate Jesus. You know what people would say to me when they meet me on the street? And they go, you're the voice. I go, yeah, hi, Pastor Bruce. And they'd look at me, they'd say, I just want you to know I'm as good as most. I never said a word to them. Because there's a haunting knowledge that this thing is somehow about being good. And people have that all mixed up, and they think they can earn it and all that stuff. But I just want you to know that every single person we meet is either going to receive Christ or they're going to reject Christ. We're going to remain dead in our sin, or are we going to come alive? What was that, Miriam, that we learned the other day from someone? Some people think that Jesus came to make bad people good, but that's not true. He came to make dead people live. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to have a biblical basis for why we have a concern for people that we meet, that we live beside, that we go to work, and we know. So the reason, so biblical basis, there it is. So here's how I've said it. When Christ is Lord, I love what God loves. For God so loved the world, including my neighbor, and I need to love what God loves. Have you ever thought about, I did this once many years ago. I gave out these green stickers and red stickers, and I said to people from the church, go home and everything that is going to perish, put a red sticker on it. And everything that's going to last for eternity, put a green sticker. I want you to know something. The green stickers only went on people. Because there's nothing else going to last. So think about your world and think about what will last forever. And all I want you to know is, hook into John 3:16. I want to love what God loves. And then this is a wonderful, charismatic church camp meeting. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will jump up and down, and you'll feel really holy. You will receive the Holy Spirit, and He will make you a witness. Telling people everywhere in Jerusalem, that's Winnipeg, and Judea, and in Samaria, our pocket of prejudice, wherever that might be, and to the ends of the earth. And I don't need to dwell on that. Church of the Rock is going all around the world. God bless you all. When Christ is Lord, I overflow with effectiveness. When Christ is Lord, I love what He loves. And I allow His Holy Spirit to guide me every day, every day, every day, every day. And Lord, help me to be a witness. Well, what keeps us silent? I can see some of you are really concerned about where I'm going with this. You are not going to have to go and witness to anybody. Just relax. You'll be okay. What keeps us silent? Fear. And I want you to know, I've experienced that fear. Personally, I can relate. And I want you to know, most of the people in this room relate to what I've just said, that fear is a real problem. Now, I want you to know, there are, I would say, in a crowd this size, charismatic church, there are half a dozen to a dozen who don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Because they are red-hot witnessers, and they're not afraid of anything. And they witness to telephone poles. You know, you need Jesus. But I know that only about 10 of you are in that category. And I just want to say to everyone else, let's be honest. We can have the greatest intentions. We can have the greatest time at camp, jumping up and down. And then we come back to our routine and we say, Lord, that stuff Martin talked to us about. Holy Spirit, I want to be faithful. Help me. I don't have to do this. I get to do this. This is amazing that I can help someone come to know Christ. And so I just really want to encourage you tonight that that fear, and I know what it's like to, well, let's go to the next thing that keeps us. We don't know how to integrate our faith story with our life story. And so we get gummed up and we can't talk right, and we just feel awkward. I just want to tell you, I can't tell you how many times this happens to me in a week, but 2 minutes after the opportunity has come and gone, I get it. I go, how did I miss that? They opened themselves up as wide as a gate, and I went right on by it. Anyone ever done that? I do it so often, it hurts me. But I just want you to know there is a way to think about integrating life story with faith story. We're going to have fun doing that in a few minutes. Some of you have a piece of paper already. Here's the third thing, and I think this is likely the most convicting to me, and I don't mean to be hard on you. We're living, third reason, fear, don't know how to integrate our faith with our life story. We're living in a relational deficit, not really knowing or loving people well enough to believe they really need Christ. Wouldn't that be a good place to just say, Holy Spirit, is that what you want me to get tonight? That I need to take "For God so loved the world that he gave," and I need to start loving the way you love. And I need to say, Lord, break my heart for what breaks your heart. God so loved that he gave. So I want to encourage you tonight to think about that. Now, I was thinking about whether to do this the short and easy way or do it the school teacher way. So I'm going to do it the school teacher way because I'm not just your average dummy. I can do this. So these fell on the ground somehow, and I don't know how. But I need someone to hold this cross, and I'm going to need 10 people on this side and 10 people on this side. Someone hold the cross for me. Come, young men. Yeah, you can do it. Just stand right there. Now I need people right here. I need 10 of them. 10. 10. Come. Okay, Miriam, which side do I need the negative and the positive? Okay. I need 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, down to 1 right here. Go ahead, hand those out. And I need 1, 2 to 10 right up there. And then hold these numbers out so people can see them. You need 9, is that 6? Okay. Okay. Okay, you got your numbers? Hold them up. We need a 10 right here. There we go. Okay. Okay. Introduce us to Mr. Engel. From the Billy Graham School, Graduate School of Wheaton College of Evangelism, Mr. Engel, this fellow right here, in the 50s or 60s, developed what he called the Engel Scale. And what he taught in those schools of evangelism was that every single one of us, these people that are standing up here, represent the people we know and work with and live beside. Okay? So everybody, and this young man holding the cross represents people who have made a commitment to Jesus. Okay? This is salvation point. This over here is your, this guy represents the person that you work with that has no clue, no God awareness, no sense of conviction, no sense of, just way out there. 10, 9, notice, and they're getting closer and closer and closer and closer. You know, so often we feel that it's our responsibility to save people. We can't do that. It's not our responsibility. But you know what we can do? We have conversations. I'm meeting with a guy at the co-op gas bar. I've been meeting him for about 6 months. And this past Sunday, I go at 7 o'clock in the morning on my walk, and he opens the service station at 7. And his name is Harjo. He is a Sikh. And guess what? In India, he went to school with a Christian that he's still in touch with. And this past Sunday, I'm moving him from about an 8 down to a 7, I hope, in the Holy Spirit. And this past Sunday, just 3 days ago, he said, "You know what? I've got some friends at my real job." Like, he works Saturday and Sunday, second job. He has a 5-day real job. He said, "You know, there's people at my real job that talk just like you." And I went, "Hallelujah." Because God has got me involved in something that's eternal. And he knows and he loves this person. And he's going to bring him to him as we do our part to move them closer to the... And then every once in a while, you meet somebody. And the best question to ask in Manitoba is, "Did you ever go to summer camp?" And they go, "How did you know that?" "Well, I'm smart." No. In Manitoba, we got more Christian summer camps than Carter's got pills. And most people have been there. It's true. And so I begin, you know, what did you learn there? You know, did you accept the Lord? "Well, I think I might have, yeah." Well, they might be a plus one, depending on your theology. But you might want to bring them back and remind them that salvation's a gift. And until we're all moving along and bearing fruit, we're not really doing what God wants us to do. So even if we meet someone who's a maybe, you know, baby Christian or a carnal Christian or, you know, not living right, how many know we can share the Lord with them too? So, Engel Scale, thank you. You've been a great help. And every school teacher in the room says he might become a teacher someday. Okay, thank you. You may put them down over there. God bless you. Now let's put it up on the screen. I could have gone the shortcut. There's what you just saw, okay? Pre-Christians to fully committed followers with receiving the Christ in the middle. Who are the people in your world and where do they fit on the Engel scale? And we know, and I'll go real quickly here for a moment, 1 Corinthians 2:14, there are people who just don't get it. The Holy Spirit has not softened their heart yet. We haven't been able to find that right message. And so then there's Christ-centered growing Jesus followers. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives and love and joy and peace, and that's our goal. So here's what I want to leave with you tonight. Look around your world in the light of the Engel scale and say, "Lord, who's really in my world? Where the person that you golf with, the person that you know pretty well, you go fishing with this person. Lord, I want to be real. I want to know, am I really with them for a purpose? And so I want to encourage you to think about that for a moment. And then there's some of you who have got, who brought your own paper. Some of you have a phone and you don't need a pen and a piece of paper because you are cool and you know what to do. You know what that notes means in your phone. Are you laughing at me? No, no. I just want you to do whatever you want to do, but nobody's going to bother you for 3 minutes, okay? And you're going to say, Lord, maybe you've been praying for this person. Maybe you have a list and you pray for people on Wednesday and Thursday and you have different lists on different days. God bless you. But most of us in this room likely don't. And so here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to think of 5 people in your world. You may take a day or 2 or 3 or 4 to figure out where they are on the Engel scale, but I would like you to write their names down on a piece of paper. If you have a photographic memory, just write it on the back of your brain. But get this list, get it. And it will change your world because you're saying, oh, I take John 3:16 seriously. I want to love who God loves. I want to pray for who God prays for. God has a plan. So just take 3 minutes. And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, help us to stay with this. I know it's heavy, but I pray, Lord, that you will help us. Help us. Because someday, one of these people is going to accept your invitation to church. And at the end of the service at Church of the Rock, when your pastor, one of your pastors, leads in that prayer of salvation that happens every single Sunday, without exception, they're going to accept the Lord. And you're going to be part of that miracle. So, Lord, we want to begin with prayer. We want to begin by listing these people and saying, Lord, I care enough about these people to pray for them and to ask you to help me to be a witness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, can we do something real quickly as we have now established who we want to be praying for? And I just want to help you for a moment. We're almost finished. Learning to tell my story. Everyone has a story. Every Christian in this room, every believer has a story to tell, including you. Now, what we've done over the years, and I've been doing this for 55 years at least. I was involved many, many years ago, long before we were married, with Campus Crusade, and now it's called Power to Change. And so this has been part of what I've learned and tried to practice in my own life and carry witness tools in my pocket. And since I've been retired, I have printed a little card, and maybe you could just read that out so people, can you see what's, yeah. Can I read that out for them? Excuse me, Bruce Martin here, and underneath it says retired pastor. That's sort of a takeoff from the radio thing. You got a question about life? ? If not, pardon the interruption. And then I have my new email that my wife made up, Bam Ma'am, that's Bruce Allen Martin and Miriam Ann Martin, 0972, September 1972, we were married, hallelujah, @gmail.com. And then over here it says, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And I hand these out to people and smile at them and say, you know, I'd love to help you come to know Jesus. So it isn't something that I'm talking to you about that I don't try to live. And I just want you, I had, every once in a while I sneak into the office at, I don't have keys anymore, and I don't have an office, but I have some friends who will do me favors. And this is the testimony that Miriam wrote several years ago, and I just printed out a few if you'd like to see what a testimony looks like. Now, hers is done in a little different context. It's not in the three-minute sharing context. But I want to just leave you with these thoughts. Number one, you want to take 3 minutes divided into three. The first minute, share with people what life was like before Jesus. Just simple, you know. I used to be pretty empty, pretty depressed, pretty this, but I, you know, drug, sex, rock and roll, whatever it is, you have no idea how good a person I was. I was perfect, perfect, perfect. And then how I came to Christ. I learned that nobody's good enough. And so tell the, in 1 minute, and then the second, how you came to Christ. And this was for me, okay? If you became a Christian as a child, think about turning that point into when your walk with God changed. Did you have a moment like that? You were a kid, you were a good kid, and then you, for me, it was at 14 years of age, experiencing the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it changed my world. And so whatever that is, and then thirdly, since Christ, how has the driving force changed? And then you say, I went from being an insecure, fearful, anxious person to having joy and peace and whatever. So can I real quickly, I was on a mission trip to Panama with the folk from, Miriam, help me, in Panama, Leader Impact. It's the same group that we went with. Remember that? They have the same name. Leader Impact. This is a little humor, so you won't notice that I can't remember everything that I used to remember, okay? But Miriam's got it all covered, so we're good. So in Panama, this pastor of a large church is in a group of lay people who are going on witnessing with an interpreter. And they said, we really like for you to have a three-minute witness. I said, I'm a pastor of a big church. I don't have to write a three-minute witness. I could preach. Write a three-minute witness. So I did. And I'm going to let you read it. Come on. I grew up in a religious home. Often I would find myself lashing out at others. As a boy, fighting with peers happened quite often. I was very jealous of others. I even remember the names of the two young men that I fought with and treated very badly. I remember a coach approaching me, the preacher's kid, about my anger and my bad language. How am I doing? Before I, right? This is what grabs people when you tell the truth. Let's go. At youth camp, when I was 14, I remember being so filled with regret about the way I had hurt people that I asked the Lord to change my sad, insecure, angry heart. God so filled me with love, it was nothing short of amazing. I'm reminded of the little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I began to understand that God wanted so much to forgive me and fill the emptiness in my life. It was amazing how God had changed me on the inside. As a teenager, 55 years ago, I began to feel concerned for everyone. Instead of anger and insecurity, I felt compassion and concern for everyone. Since then, God has given me love for everyone. Even today, after many years, I still love to help people, especially those struggling in their marriages. I also have a special God-given love and concern for people going through the grief of losing a loved one through death. God's love is for everyone. God loves me, and God loves you too. Hallelujah. Do you see what happened? 1 minute of what life used to be like, how Christ came into my life. And for me, it had to be like I didn't have a pre-conversion. Like I did ring doorbells and run away from houses and stuff. And you know, maybe, I don't know what else sin I got into. But for me, it was the religious sins of anger and jealousy and stuff. So we're not going to do it in this room, but some of you are going to lay down on your pillow and have a wonderful sleep and say, if that pastor thinks I'm writing out my little story in 3 minutes, he is nuts. That's good. I've pastored for 50 years. I can take it. You know, reject me. It's okay. But I want to encourage others to get out your little note on your phone and say, what would I, if I wanted to, what would I say in 3 minutes? What would I say? And so if 10 of you do it, I'll feel honored. But I think a lot of us could say, yeah, I can do that. So here's what I want to leave with you. Ask the Lord for wisdom before you begin. Ask for guidance. Try real hard to stick to the time limit. Some of you will find that almost impossible. Be real. Be vulnerable. You could sense the moments, right? I was with a lay guy from our church, one of the leaders in our church, and he said, Pastor, I've listened to you preach for 20 years, and you showed more honesty and presence of when you talked about having an angry heart. I didn't know that. So whatever it will take for the person to hear your testimony and say, you know what? I need what you got. So I encourage you to do that. Avoid Christianese. I even said religious home when I could have said Christian home. I could have said a born-again, spirit-filled Christian home, but that may not connect real well. Don't make statements that reflect negatively on the church and other organizations or people. You know, the church you used to go to, but now you go to the best, you know, that stuff. Avoid mentioning denominations, et cetera, et cetera. Now, tomorrow, I know you're going to be really excited because we're going to learn about how to take on the burden of conversation, and we're going to find it in the life of Jesus and how to get the law of permission and to push forward, law of permission. Now, you people, that 10 people with the Holy Ghost evangelism gift, you don't need the law of permission because you already got your permission from God. But the rest of us, boy, does it ever work better if you say, now, if I were to answer your question, I will need to tell you my story. Would that be okay? And the minute they say yes, you start. And if they get a little antsy, oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was okay for me to share my story. So I want to encourage you to think about that. If you could put together the three little thoughts and put it together for tomorrow. Now, this came to me just about 5 minutes ago, and I really feel that I need to do this. I think there's several people here today who are just totally amazed at what I've just talked about. And are you saying, Pastor, that what my friend has, the friend who brought me to camp, it's a personal relationship with Jesus? He's invited the Lord into his heart, and he's accepted Christ, and he's been forgiven of his sin? Is that what this is? And I say, yes. Would you like to join us? And we're just going to pause for a moment. And 3, 4, 5, 10, how many people are here as guests? And you haven't really come to that. What happened? Where you come to the cross and you pass from on being that side of Christ to knowing Christ. And you'd like to pass through that cross today and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and coming into my life. Can we pray that? Let's just quiet ourselves and shut out the rest. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there are people here today who are so glad to be here, and they had no idea that you would show up like this and in this little teaching on what it means to share your faith. And so, Lord, help them right now to just say, Lord, I thought I was a pretty good person, and becoming a Christian was becoming better at being a good person. And I've learned today that, no, we're all born in sin, and we need to be made alive in Christ. And the new birth gives us new life. So Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Forgive me. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer and meant it, and you can sense the Spirit, something's just bubbling up inside of you, you just, please tell somebody. Tell the person who invited you to the camp. Tell one of the pastors. Tell me. I'd love you to do that. I want the musicians to come, and some of you need to go. We are right at the 8:30 mark, and some of you need to go and make sure your kids are okay. And I attend my son's church now in Selkirk, and they have about 20 kids in that church that we go to. And my son always says at the end of every service, he says, now remember, go get your kids and get the same ones you brought. I say, boy, that kid's sharp, you know, my 31-year-old son. So anyway, get the kids you brought and go ahead and do that. And here's what I'd like us to do. In your tradition, coming forward for a prayer time at camp meeting is a good thing. I'd like you to bring the list of names. Wherever you have it written. And just come and sing this song and worship God. And then you'll, Aubrey, I'll turn it right to you. Let's stand together, shall we? And if you'd like to come with that list of names and pray for those people for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever the Holy Spirit puts in your heart, you come. Let's sing.
No sting, and life has no end.
There we are. All right. Hey, Bruce, you were, where are you? Somewhere. There we are. Dwayne, when was that when we got together as pastors and we said in fall, we need to focus on this thing that Bruce is focusing on? It's like you were in our meeting, man. Hey, thanks for sharing that word. And for being not just the usual campy thing, but for listening to God's Spirit. You're amazing. Give him a hand, Lord, you guys. So here's what you're going to do. Bruce said if there would be 10 people that would do it, that would be successful. No. Here's what you're going to do. Everybody in this room, just so you know, you are actually going to do this. Isn't that amazing? Yes, you are. And because it's not complicated, and it's, you know what it's called? Being a Christian. It is. So here's what you're going to do. And if you have no names, you like just write blanks, and God will fill in those blanks for you, okay? And I'm talking about the names, right, that you have. God's put you in a place. You can do this. This is not complicated. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to, through these next 4 days, fill those things out and have them, and it is going to set you up so perfectly for what we are doing as a church in fall. So it's like you're like doing a head work, okay? Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we've had. I thank you for Pastor Bruce, who chose to step out in something that is just sort of not the regular thing, but it was your Holy Spirit thing for us. And God, we honor that, and we honor the gift of that word, and we thank you, Lord, that you are bringing, even if we didn't even know it before today, you're bringing people's names and faces into our hearts and minds, because what we just sang about you and your blood and what you've done for us is what you want to do for everybody. And God, you're going to use us. That's amazing. Thank you, God, so much. Amen? Amen. Bless you, all you amazing people.